Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies.
Hello, and welcome to the OIS podcast, brought to you by the China Programme this week. My name is Michal Maidan. I'm Head of China Research at the Institute, and I am joined today by Anders Hovey, Senior Research Fellow at the Institute, and we will be talking about the key findings from his latest paper, Synergies Between China's Whole County PV Program and Rural Heating Electrification. Now, China is a leader in solar photovoltaics. It has recently launched a new program to deploy solar in rural areas, that is known as the Whole County PV Program. Meanwhile, China is continuing to promote clean heating in rural areas, although so far the emphasis has really been on clean coal instead of electrification. Now, in this latest paper, which of course can be found on the OIS website, Anders discusses the economics as well as the barriers to adopting this kind of paired approach to clean heating and cooling. Anders, let's start with a bit of background. This research is really about the confluence of two different areas of policy and technology, both of which are equally sort of hot and important, both in China and globally, and that is, of course, PV and heat pumps. Why are these two technologies important in China?
That's absolutely right, which is that, you know, we often pay most attention when we talk about China to the really big things, the grid scale, centralized photovoltaics, where China has been far away a world leader for many years, but which unfortunately do have certain grid integration issues. In China, the wholesale electric power market and transmission system are fairly inflexible on a relative basis. And generally, central PV necessitates a very large investment in new transmission. And that's why you get these announcements around the big clean energy bases. They require not only wind and solar, but also adding new coal. Now, distributed energy has really been taking off in China over the recent few years, and especially that's true in rural areas. But distributed energy, because of the same kind of integration issues, distributed energy also works better when there's local energy demand, local energy consumption. Otherwise, you know, it just has some of those same grid integrations, but at the distribution grid level instead of for the transmission level. Now, heat pumps are a potential solution to that. And at the same time, heat pumps directly substitute for their main alternatives, which are fossil fuel heating, coal, gas. Now, that has greenhouse gas emissions, but probably more importantly, from a policy perspective, those both have local air quality impacts, as well as indoor air quality impacts. And sometimes we tend to ignore that as well, but that's important also. And finally, we do tend to look at energy efficiency and consumption separately from generation, whereas the government in recent years has really tried to promote greater integration between consumption and production. And I think this is one of those overlooked areas that needs to be examined more closely.
So you seem to suggest it's underexplored and somewhat overlooked. What has been done in terms of research? How has the topic been looked at before? And what does this paper add to the research and to our understanding?
Yeah, a number of authors have studied and published in the academic literature about the effectiveness of heat pumps in China, the economics of heat pumps in China, and the economics of heat pumps paired together with solar photovoltaics in China, including in rural China. They've looked at all of the barriers as well as the economics, as I said. What is different about this paper is that there is a relatively new program underway in China, which has the potential to be very effective at promoting distributed solar. That program is called the Whole County PV Program. It is really just an immense program covering over half of China's counties, 24% of China's population, if all those counties do build out their program that they've promised. And since 20% of the households in these counties that tend to be a little bit more rural than the average, if 20% of the household rooftops in those counties already have solar, that fundamentally changes the economics of heat pumps, because then you are no longer worried about just looking at the investment cost of the heat pump in isolation, nor are you worried about paying back the capital cost of both the heat pump and the PV, but rather you're looking at adding heat pumps to an already existing PV project. So this is a slightly different take. And it also is slightly different in terms of the policy effectiveness, because you no longer have to promote both. You are adding heat pumps to an already existing program, which is promoting solar very effectively in these areas.
But just to be clear, the program does not target heat pumps. It targets solar. So it could potentially add on heat pumps, but that is not in the policy documents right now.
That's correct.
And in terms of the methodology that you used for this paper, I remember you were sitting and working on it and you were deep in spreadsheets. Is there data available and how did you go about collecting it?
Yes, this is one of the interesting things I think about the paper is that there are hourly data available on the solar production across basically the whole geography of the world, including in China at a fairly granular level, and then matching that with the temperature data in those counties to estimate the energy consumption of heat pumps and how well does that match with the energy production of PV in these counties that are participating in the whole county PV program.
Interesting. So it sounds like there could be synergy, but maybe so talk us through a little bit about the history and the background of the whole county PV program and where you have identified synergies with heat pumps.
So the whole county PV program, as I said, relatively recent program. It was announced in June of 2021 by the China National Energy Administration. And just a couple months later, September of that same year, over 650 counties or county-like administrative units announced that they would participate in the program. Now, to participate in the program, that is, initial indication of interest in order to really be fully recognized as having implemented the program. By the end of this year, 2023, the counties should have achieved a certain percentage of various different types of rooftops to have PV coverage. And I don't think that it doesn't specify exactly how much kilowatts each of these types of rooftop need to have, but there is a defined percentage for government buildings, for schools, for industry, commercial, and then as this paper looks at residential, which is the target for residential is the lowest, which is 20%. However, of course, that's the largest bucket. And because these counties are relatively more rural, they don't necessarily have all the same problems we associate with rooftop PV for residential in large cities, where you've got people living in high rises generally. These are more rural areas where you're going to have more of a suburban or exurban or just purely rural individual separated houses or perhaps terraced houses more suited for rooftop PV than really purely urban residential properties. And just to specify what makes this program very interesting from the perspective of PV and also potentially other types of technologies that would be relevant for energy like heat pumps is that although there's no definite direct subsidy from the central government to counties that participate, there is a type of support, which is that the counties are allowed to organize a single tender for the whole county, which one company would win in order to install all of the solar at once. And that's really trying to get at a couple of the key problems and barriers to implementing distributed solar, one of which we know in other countries is soft cost, which is how do you get people into the program and then how do you get all the approvals done? It just works a lot better if you're somehow able to do that at scale. And then bundling together the residential rooftops with the larger rooftops also helps reduce the cost of doing the small rooftops because it's no longer such a small individual project where you're really doing a bunch of independent projects that all need their own integration plan. You're doing a bunch of rooftops at the same time in the same area. So that's going to really reduce all those kind of soft costs and scale costs that make distributed solar so difficult. That would also apply, of course, to any other type of distributed energy related activity or investment, which is that you could reduce those soft costs, reduce the marketing cost, reduce the permitting cost by bundling heat pumps together with a bunch of other residential properties or consumers that were all doing it at the same time.
I mean, maybe just to take a step back, can you define rural and county? Maybe for our listeners who aren't aware of all the Chinese kind of bureaucratic and administrative layers, you know, I think in a Western audience, when we think about rural, we think about countryside with limited people, but actually that could be quite different in China. Can you give us a sense of scale what we're talking about?
First of all, China for a number of years has promoted photovoltaics in rural areas. There was a poverty alleviation program that had rural PV as part of its component. And in general, the government has promoted PV both for clean energy production and for rural livelihoods. These counties, it was not specified that you had to be a purely rural county. And in general, county level divisions on average in China have population roughly 500,000 to 1 million per county. So these are not themselves really small rural counties with just a few thousand. Although there are a few counties that do have just a population of 1,000 to 10,000, that's going to be pretty rare. It's more 500,000 to 1 million. And then some of these counties do have substantial cities inside of them in addition to being rural. So I would say that they're partly rural and partly urban. And so they're just more rural than average for a Chinese county. Now, there are some exceptions where these counties are purely within a large city. So I found, for example, that there's a Gulou County in Nanjing, which is right in the center of the historic city, not at all rural, but that's a bit of an exception. I'd say more typical would be a county with 1 million population, where half of the population is located in the largest city of the county, and then the other half of the population is very more clearly rural.
Then does it really make sense to combine heat pumps with solar PV? I mean, electricity is not expensive in China. And the timings, do they actually work? You'd really need to heat in the winter at night. How does it all fit together and why would it make sense?
So heat pumps are a device that basically can provide both cooling air conditioning in the summertime and also heating in the wintertime. And their primary advantage over not using heat pumps, either just having a separate electric air conditioner for the summer and some other form of heating for the winter, their primary benefit is the greater efficiency for heating component. Their efficiency during the summer, essentially the same as an electric air conditioner only, cooling air conditioner only. In China, most of the energy demand, both North and South China, generally speaking, there's more energy demand for heating than there is for cooling. There are, of course, some parts of Southern China where cooling predominates, but that's pretty much a minority of counties. So we're really looking more at the kind of boundary here between the cold region of China, which is kind of north of Central China, and then the region kind of like, let's say, a little bit north of Shanghai down towards Fujian province, where it's hot summer but cold winter. Those are the types of areas that would be definitely suited for heat pump adoption, and that's the focus of the study. Those areas are also the most populous areas of China. They are the most energy-consuming areas of China. And interestingly enough, they have excellent solar resources in general. I think that you could compare this to northern Spain, central Italy. You know, you do often hear people talking about China and solar PV as being best in northern and western China, and that is true. However, the solar resources in coastal China are nevertheless quite good. And what is quite interesting is that the solar production in the wintertime is relatively very balanced in China with the solar output in the summertime. And if you want to compare to some reference points internationally, China on those coastal provinces that I mentioned, roughly 60 to 70% of solar output in the winter as compared to the summer. In other words, over the whole winter, I would be able to get 60 to 70% of my summertime output from my same PV system. That's comparable to the wintertime sunniness of Phoenix, Arizona, not at all comparable to any place in Europe. So for example, London, Stockholm, those would be the worst in Europe. That would be maybe 10 to 20% of the winter output as compared to summer. And, you know, maybe Madrid would not even be able to get up to the China level of wintertime solar production. So on a seasonal basis, relatively balanced. And of course, solar only produces energy during the daytime. But of course, it's usually cold enough during the daytime as well that you would still need heating energy during the wintertime in those regions that we studied here.
Interesting. It raises the question of storage as well that we'll get to in a minute. But I guess talk us through some of the economic results. How do you expect this to make sense?
In general, as other studies have found, heat pumps are economical in China for a building which is insulated to the Chinese standards, the national standards, which not all buildings are. But, you know, you do have to start with some base assumption to make everything comparable. The payback period, which is the economic unit I used for this analysis, versus resistance heating. So just providing heating with electric energy, what they call in Chinese, just using your air conditioner, but not with a heat pump. The payback period in that case typically for the provinces examined in this study is around 3 years. And versus gas heating, the payback period there would be around 2 years or under 2 years in many cases. And then versus clean coal stove, so taking out my default dirty coal stove and putting in the cleanest version of coal stove that's available in China, the payback period there would be anywhere between 4 to 6 years. Again, I mentioned that there are some assumptions here. The assumptions that I used for this paper are all based on reference papers that I examined for comparison purposes. I tried to use methodologies that were already available in the literature. And I will mention that those very low payback periods are based on a heat pump cost that is quite cheap compared to what you would experience if you were installing one in Europe. So generally, roughly speaking, we'll say around 3,000 euros unit cost for a small window unit heat pump in China. So that's part of the explanation for why the payback period is so attractive. Those payback periods, I should mention, are assuming that you are using your existing household PV system to provide the electricity for whenever PV output is available, so you're not having to purchase that PV system separately.
So in terms of the economics, there's a lot that makes sense. And I guess for the Chinese government, we've talked a lot about industrial policy. Producing heat pumps domestically is another avenue for potential growth and I guess a contributor to economic policy. Sounds like the economics work. But we know that in China, it's not always just about the economics. And I guess where would be the pitfalls, the resistance? Why wouldn't it happen, even though it sounds very logical?
It's very important to note that even if those payback periods sound incredibly attractive, that historically has not necessarily been able to resolve barriers to any kind of distributed energy or energy efficient investment, especially in rural areas in China. And there's been a lot of information published about the relatively low awareness in rural China, especially about the benefits of investing in distributed energy or energy efficiency. Anywhere in the world, we all have the problem when we have a large capital cost investment. We do tend to discount the payback period aspects and focus really on whether we do or do not have cash on hand to make large capital investments that might pay back over time. And then there's just the general perception in China that heat pumps don't work. And we see that in Europe and the United States as well, the idea that China is not suited for heat pumps, or that coal is just always cheaper and better no matter what. And finally, I'd say the last very important barrier that we would cite here would be the bureaucratic barriers, namely that generation rooftop solar that is always treated as a separate policy area from, for example, building energy efficiency or heat pump adoption. Those might be administered under a program related to clean heating as opposed to distributed energy. So those bureaucratic silos, they affect both the overall management and whether or not, for example, heat pumps could be combined into the whole county program, but also it would affect perceptional issues about, well, how do we persuade people to participate? How do we get these projects approved? How do we organize the tenders? These sorts of obstacles.
That actually sounds a bit like what we've seen with renewables adoption in China as well, right? Economically, they make sense. There are political and administrative barriers. Any parallels or lessons from the renewables scale up and uptake that we've seen that could be applicable or interesting to note for this case?
In terms of the lessons, we do have to monitor this whole county PV program and find out to what extent will it really be successful at overcoming some of those barriers. The jury is still out because we won't have that data probably until the end of the year, if then. There have been some media reports about problems with the whole county PV program, that some counties are not really fully implementing it or not enthusiastic, even though they signed up initially. So we need to figure out whether that program has really been successful at overcoming those barriers. But I think that it does present an interesting model or example for how some of those barriers could be overcome. Because if you can really get the county on board to install a certain number of devices or add heat pumps to a certain number of villages, you really could start to bundle together and improve the economics and reduce those barriers around awareness and capital costs. for those counties that have been successful so far at the whole county rollout, you know, it really is helping those households figure out ways to get around the capital cost barrier and give them leases that will enable them to get cheaper energy and basically make money immediately, as opposed to having to worry about the huge capital cost and the long payback period.
Are there any additional, I guess, wider lessons that we can draw from this research?
Yeah, of course, this research is focused on China. However, the whole county PV program, even though it's a Chinese-style administrative program, I think it does actually offer potential lessons for other countries. It's interesting to think that the population of the counties that are participating in the whole county PV program, roughly equivalent to the population of the entire United States. If you could imagine a county or maybe a larger unit in Europe, the United States, UK, organizing a program like this to get a certain amount of PV or heat pumps installed in a certain specified period of time, doing that on the basis of a large tender that individuals or households could opt into or small communities could opt into, that could be a really interesting way to both increase awareness, but also, as I said, improve the economic returns by reducing the soft costs. Finally, I think that it will be a greater model for programs in the future in China, because if the whole PV county program works, that could be applied to heat pumps. It could be applied to a variety of different things. It could be applied, for example, to insulation. It could be applied to EV adoption. It could be applied to vehicle to grid for balancing peak loads in rural areas where you have big problems in these rural areas with the poorly built out distribution system. So I think that this whole county PV program will warrant further study in the future.
It's really interesting because it resonates and dovetails with a number of themes that we've been looking at, right? There's that question of China tends to learn from the West on many questions and issues or experiences that it can draw. But equally, there are things, as you note, that could perhaps be applied in lessons from China that could be applied in the West. But of course, these questions about the role of the state and the role of the market and how government mandates can help in the initial phases of scale up before things become economic. Definitely lots for further research and lots for us to think about. But I think that's all we have time for today. Anders, thank you for your time. Thank you for the paper. I would like to invite our listeners to read the paper on the OIS website, where you can also find many more publications and podcasts. And with that, I would like to say thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies. You can find other podcasts, as well as our written research, on our website at www.oxfordenergy.org. If you would like more details about our energy transition, gas, oil, electricity, or China research programs, then please contact us at information@oxfordenergy.org.